is in. It's Aubameyang!
He is so often the man for Arsenal, who comes up with the goods when they need them.
Hey, welcome to Cannon Fodder and All Things Arsenal Podcast. I'm Tim.
I'm Fred. Another one.
And that dude, I feel like this is all of last season almost, but
yep.
We're talking about Arsenal v Brentford opening day loss 2-0 to the newly promoted side. And honestly, a match that Arsenal didn't seem up for. They didn't seem ready for it. They didn't even match the intensity of Brentford. And it's a really frustrating game, and it's a frustrating result for a team that really needed all 3 points with a tough fixture list at the beginning of the season. So, I mean, first off, just going straight into it, I don't even want to break it down, you know, minute by minute, really. But
yeah,
just, you know, did you see what Wrighty said after the game?
I believe so, but I don't remember.
You know, it was basically just him being like, it doesn't, you know, Arsenal couldn't get up for it. They couldn't even match the intensity, you know?
Yeah.
They couldn't even do the running and the pressing and the defending half as well as Brentford did. Brentford just were up for it and we couldn't match him. And it was frustrating because, you know, and what I think he said was really important is he was like, you've known about this game for months. You've been able to prepare for it for months. There's no reason why you couldn't have worked harder, kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's a difficult one. It's a difficult one to really talk about, but how did we look so bad for the majority of that game? You know, there's little flashes here and there, but it's baffling, man.
Yeah. I mean, there's a handful of players that can, you know, come out of this game with their heads held high. Smith Rowe looked fantastic. He looked very ready. Saka, when he came on, looked ready. Tierney looked really, really good. Lokonga looked really, really good. But other than that, you've got Martinelli, who looked a little bit off it, maybe not fully fit or fully prepared. At least he's only just back from his really short summer holiday, which was, what, like 2 days? he finished up the Olympics and basically came right back to work. But so he's not really had any rest. He's not really had any time to, like, kind of get back acclimated to being in Arsenal. He had Fuller and Balogun up top, who has never played a Premier League game in his life, never started one, at least.
And it definitely looked like it.
And it definitely looked like it. So, yeah, like, there are a few players, basically, that did well.
Yeah. And you know, I say that about Balogun. I don't want to disparage him, or, you know, because he is a young player, and I think he's a good prospect for Arsenal. But you could tell that he struggled. You know, the physicality of the game, so many times he was muscled off the ball. So many times it's just, you know, he took one too many touches or just wasn't quite quick enough to get the ball away because Brentford were fast. They were on us, you know?
Yeah, he never had a second to breathe. But, I mean, so we're kind of getting into it a bit, but, like, he didn't really have too much of a choice with this lineup. Arteta didn't. You know, it's an odd bit of news to come out, you know, an hour or so before the game saying that Aubameyang and Lacazette are feeling unwell and can't play. That's a huge curveball. And as much as we've kind of spent the summer, you and I personally talking, and then we, you know, put out that podcast last week talking about this, but, you know, the forward department at this club is sorely lacking. You've got the inexperienced Balogun and nothing in between him and two aging strikers who, for all the things that they do kind of well, at the end of the day, they just don't threaten people very much. They just don't provide a lot of a threat going forward. Other teams aren't scared of them, and therefore they're not really that scared of us, because those strikers are kind of your most important player at the end of the day, if you think about it.
Eddie's injured. Partey's injured.
Yeah.
You know, Saka's not 100% fit. Gabriel's not, you know, or Gabby's, Martinelli's not 100% fit. You got a striker who's coming in who's never played in the Premier League before. You got people behind him who is not the ideal setup. So it's just
disjointed. You know, it's the best lineup it could have been. But I did want to ask you,
could have been,
before we move on and keep talking about the rest of the game, do you think there's anything else behind the Aubameyang and Lacazette absences? I mean, I know they're good mates, so it's very possible that if one gets sick, the other one might, because they are probably hanging out outside of football. But do you take that at face value as, oh, yeah, they're probably sick, or do you think there's anything weird going on there?
I don't know, man. And honestly, you know me, it's like I hate transfer season because it's just too silly for me. It's like, yeah, I don't know about that, but I think something that is really apparent to me with missing both of them is that Alba and Laka are past their prime.
Yeah.
Especially for the Premier League and what I think it takes to be a top striker in the league. I think they can both contribute because they both are good strikers, but you know, if you look at their numbers last season, not fantastic, you know, they're not fantastic numbers. It's not the kind of, you know, in terms of like chances created, shots to goals, you know, I don't know all the stats. I'm not the best stat guy around, but you know, it's like pretty much like middle of the road stats. Like they're not great, you know? And so it's difficult to progress as a team if those are your best guys in the position, essentially, you know? Because Gabby, you know, Martinelli, even though we love him, we love his energy and we love his potential, you know, besides that first season, you know, after he got injured, you know, he hasn't come into the team and done the same thing yet. And I don't think that's a bad thing. He's a young player. He's going to be patchy. And I think him having a run of games will probably, you know, he'll definitely contribute. But, you know, if something like that happens, you know, and the only people you have to come in aren't doing it, you know, even Pepe to a certain extent, you know, I think he had a couple flashes in the game. You know, he was getting on the ball. He was trying to make stuff happen, had a really good shot saved. But the game was kind of almost over at that point. But it's just a difficult one when you look at the kind of progression that our team needs. We have to move forward, you know, as a club, as a team, as a fan base. We have to move forward and have a different way of thinking about everything. And it's really difficult as a fan to try to get behind what the club is trying to do when you see the way we played. And you know, even if you take Laka and Alba out of the equation and say, you know, they're going to get sold, you know, which is kind of the rumors that are coming out, is like, we're entertaining offers for Alba and Laka, you know, and there's reports saying they're not even going to play in the Chelsea game. So it's interesting, but yeah, I don't know. I just feel like we got to do something besides, you know, it's like, I don't even feel like talking about them because it was up to me. I would sell them both this summer anyway, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like,
we would go back and not give Aubameyang that contract and we, you know, would have sold Lacazette last summer.
So, yeah. So it's a hard one. It's like, what do you think? You know, it's like, you look at all the players, you know, we're linked with Odegaard, which is good. You know, I saw a thing today basically breaking down him in Madison's stats.
Yeah.
In the Premier League last season. And they're so, so similar.
Mm.
Like they're almost identical in terms of like, you know, it's actually pretty crazy when you look at it and you're like, man, Odegaard would be younger, cost less money.
Yeah.
And you know, I think he'll potentially be a way better signing. He's not as injury prone as Madison, who, you know, has another hip problem. So I just feel like, I guess this is what I'm trying to say is that it's really difficult to progress as a team and to get to a position like Arsenal need to be in. You know, we're a huge club. We're a massive institution, bro. Like, we should be doing shit.
Yeah.
But it's hard as a fan to feel like that's ever going to happen when you're literally pinning all your hopes that we'll sign two or three more players in the next 2 weeks to, like, even help us compete at all.
Yeah.
It's difficult, man. It's difficult.
It's difficult as fans to not try and be optimists, you know?
Yeah.
We make deals like the William deal, the Cedric deal, the Mari deal, and all three of those deals, they all have the same agent. It's all fishy. It all seems weird. We, you know, sign those aging players, or at least just not good, potentially, in Pablo Mari's case. You know, we re-sign Ozil a few years back. We re-sign Aubameyang. We watch our club under different managers, under different executive structures, kind of make these mistakes, but we try and justify them because we're fans and we want to get excited about stuff. But in the cold light of day, you end up with four right backs, none of which you want, and you're sorely, sorely just weak in that area. And you've got your new shiny 50 million pound, you know, English center back struggling out there, not looking that great because he's out there on an island. You know what I mean? He's out there by himself dealing with a bunch of clowns next to him. So it's tough to kind of, I guess, just come to grips with where we're at as a club, and how long a rebuild, this rebuild, if Arteta's given time, which is a whole different topic, but you know, like how long this rebuild could potentially take. And you know, we always kind of said, and a lot of podcasters that both you and I listen to have kind of been saying that, like, you know, it's very possible things could get worse before they get better. You know, you can look at other clubs that have gone through something similar, maybe like Liverpool. They were kind of out in the wilderness in the mid-table-ish, upper mid-table. And that very well could be the case for us. You know, two back-to-back eighth-place finishes the past two seasons. And then this season, as excited as we can try to be about things, we're all still worried about stuff. I think the Odegaard signing would be an amazing signing. I think he's a great player and can get even better. He's still only 22, but he's established. The manager loves him and he works hard and he's really talented. Fantastic. Yeah. That doesn't solve our striker problem and it doesn't look like anything's happening there. I think actually it just came out like a couple hours ago that Tammy Abraham did agree to join Roma. So he's heading there, which is kind of a bit of a blow, even if you have a bit of problems with the player. But we're just, I guess, just kind of seeing more and more that this rebuild will just take a while. And that's kind of the depressing thing. So going into the season, you know, so many holes to fill and not enough money to fill them. And that this game, you know, I don't know about you, but the second this game got announced, I was nervous about it. You know, obviously you can look at Chelsea and City coming up and be like, yeah, no, we'll lose those almost definitely. Maybe, you know, every once in a while we'll get up against Chelsea. But something about Brentford, we know the type of football that they play, high energy, high pressing. And we know just from what we've heard, I've not really watched them play too much, but we know that they've got a crazy loud stadium, old timey English cauldron of a stadium. And we knew that place would be rocking because fans would be back. And we knew that would be difficult because we've struggled in that area in the past. And we struggle in that area because we have weak players mentally. And I mean, I'm kind of talking in circles, but all that to say is just like, it's depressing to see where we are, but this game definitely highlighted where we are, you know, and even with all the caveats of your all-star midfielder being out, and your, you know, two main strikers that give you some sort of a presence in the box, even if it's not good enough, they give you something, you know, they do make us a little better than we were. All the caveats, you know, we're not in a great place and it's tough to see. So is there anything else you wanted to highlight, like from the game itself? Any particular chance or moment or thing? I mean, I know there's a couple things that were a bit interesting. I didn't get to watch the game live because I was at work, but you know, I thought that first half, we actually did start the game really well. And they kind of sucker punch scored and then we really didn't get our confidence back after that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we started the game well in the sense that we were passing it around, you know, but we didn't threaten them. You know, we did have a lot of possession and we were able to move the ball around, but it was kind of similar since we worked the ball so well down the left side and Tierney puts in some great crosses, some really good cutbacks, but there's nobody there to make it happen. You know, people aren't making good runs or people are, you know, just wasting the ball, you know? So it's a difficult one for me and maybe I'm being extra negative, but if I'm trying to be positive about it, the things that really stuck out to me that were really positive was Tierney, obviously. You know, I just feel like if we can get anybody up top who can work,
Or just threaten, you know, that's what we need.
Then they will get chances, you know. But I think the flip side of that is if you look at Chambers, I think this game made it really, really evident to me that we need a legit right back. We need somebody. And to me, I look at Ainsley Maitland-Niles sitting there and I'm like, he's stronger, faster. He's not, you know, a player who struggles technically in the sense that his first touch is good. He can dribble with the ball. He's good in the tackle. I look at him and I'm like, if he's going to stay, we have to let him be the right back for now. Cause I think he'll do a better job. You know, I think he's closer to Tierney than Cedric or Chambers. Cause Chambers just wasn't cutting it. Yeah. Or Bellerin, you know, his defending was weak for the first goal. I think, you know, he doesn't get close enough to the man. I think he's a little bit unlucky the ball kind of goes between his legs a little bit, but at the same time, you know, he's going in, he's not standing up, you know, he's not getting right up on the guy. He's giving him time to even take a shot. And it, you know, it's a hard one, I think, for Leno. It's at the near post, the defender's in front of the guy. It's a difficult one to save, but at the same time, you shouldn't be getting beat at your near post. Your right back should be there on the guy, showing him, you know, you don't want to show him inside. A guy's right footed. You're letting him cut in on his right and take a shot. You know, it's just bad defending, you know?
Yeah, and he was at fault a good bit for the second goal, I'd say, too.
Exactly. You know, so it's a difficult one thinking about the game, because it's like, obviously, Emile Smith Rowe was, you know, he was all over, popping up all over the place. His touch is great. The way he turns with the ball when he receives it is fantastic. His decision-making is stellar. You know, he had so many eye-catching moments of just, like, dribbling or trying to create or, you know, I really loved what he did. You know, I really did. And honestly, watching Lokonga play alongside Xhaka, I'm looking at Lokonga and I'm like, when Partey's fit, Xhaka should be fighting for his spot.
I was just thinking that as you were talking.
He should be fighting for his spot in the team, because Sambi
was, he looks good, man.
Really good. I mean, dude, his range of passing, the way he turns, you know, receives the ball in the half turn. He's so much faster, so much, you know, he thinks so much quicker than Xhaka does. So many times in that game, Xhaka got caught on the ball. Lokonga did not. You know, I think he could be a little bit riskier with some of his passes, but his forward progression was really nice. The way he retained possession was good.
He doesn't mind getting pressed. Really liked it. Yeah, he does not mind getting pressed at all.
He doesn't mind getting in a tackle. You know, I think, you know, give him, you know, when Xhaka was, what, 24 when we bought him?
Yep, 24, 25, yeah.
Yeah, so give Lokonga 3-4 more years, and he'll be better than Xhaka could ever hope to be, 100%.
Yeah, I 110% agree. Yeah, no, dude, Lokonga played great. That's the other big sort of highlight, because we saw him show some stuff in preseason with all the usual caveats about preseason, which I think as time goes on and the game gets more and more modern and more about fitness and players get fitter and fitter, maybe preseason actually does mean a little bit more than we give it credit for. All that to say, we saw flashes from him against Spurs, especially, of just this calmness, tidiness, whatever, but like, all right, when the game actually matters, what are we going to see from him? And he didn't. I think it took him maybe a few minutes to get up to the speed of the game, but he definitely did not disappoint in any way.
One other thing I was going to say, I just thought about this with Pepe, is against Chelsea, I know this sounds kind of crazy, but this is what I think I would do against Chelsea, because you look at that chance that Pepe had in the second half, that was a really good save from David Raya down at the his
great
post,
save. Yeah,
right.
He great looks like a good save. Keeper, by the way.
Yeah, he looks like, I mean,
a really
Leno,
fucking good keeper.
Leno looked
shaky, dude.
His passing is so bad, dude.
He looks like, honestly, he looks like he wants to leave, and that's pretty much what we've been told all summer.
Yeah, and but you know, I look at Pepe, and you look at where he takes that shot from, right?
Yeah,
it's a pretty central area in the 18-yard box, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think even if you look at a lot of his positions last season when he was the most dangerous, it's from him drifting into the center, right?
Yeah.
And so there's a part of me that just feels like I don't know if this would work, but I just feel like he wants to come central, you know, he wants to cut in with the left foot and take the shots, or he wants to drift in and get those cutbacks like that. You know, he really wants to do that, and he's really good at it. His movement in the box like that is pretty good, you know?
Yeah, no, it definitely is.
You know, and I honestly feel like Brentford did a good job kind of restraining him a little bit last night, or not last night, but on Friday, because they would double up on him, or they would just make it really difficult for him to beat two guys and to make something happen. But he had some flashes. But it's like, part of me is like, what if you started him central and you started Saka out on the right and, you know, Smith Rowe or whoever, you know, Gabby out on the left. And then you give Pepe that chance to kind of be more central and to kind of drift a little bit more. It makes me wonder if he would be more dangerous, but I'm not sure. But it's just a difficult one. And honestly, you know, I feel like if you take your eyes away from the team a little bit, something you said, you know, a couple minutes ago about, oh, this, it just seems like this rebuild is going to take us a lot longer than we think as fans, right?
Yeah.
There's a part of me that questions, like, what if we don't have the right people doing the rebuild, you know? Because I look at Arteta, and I'm not saying this because I'm like Arteta out or any of that, you know? It's the first game of the season. Like, you know, that season that we owe when we came second and Leicester won the season, we lost the first game of that season too, you know?
Yeah.
Against Liverpool. But I don't know. I look at Arteta and I look at Edu, and we talked a little bit about this earlier on the phone, but it's like, you look at some of the stuff that Arteta wants to do, right? And not all of it seems doable with the players that we have. The system that he wants to play, the way, you know, that he wants to play out from the back. A lot of it is, you know, Guardiola-esque and some of that kind of stuff. And it's obvious, but, you know, and this, I think, came up a lot with the debate with Joe Willock, is it's like, oh, well, he doesn't fit the system, you know? And I just constantly was thinking the whole summer, like, yeah, but that system that we played last season didn't get us any goals, really. And we really struggled to create things. So maybe the system is not good. Maybe the system needs to change, not just the players, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's a difficult one for me. It's like, do you feel like Edu and Arteta are the right guys? Do you feel like they should be under a lot more pressure right now?
Yeah, I think we're getting to that point. You know, I think that question that you just posed, you know, is it the system that Arteta wants to play, or is it the players, or is it both? It's really hard for me to kind of like pick one side. You know, I'd like to back someone like Arteta just because I like him personally and I like a lot of things about him. And I definitely have a lot of sympathy for the job that he's inherited. I think it's definitely more the players than it is the system. But it's just a question, I guess, of, you know, how much time do you give Arteta, or does this club need success a little bit quicker than it might take under someone like that? Is it worth the growing pains to stick with someone like Arteta? You know, I guess those aren't really questions I can answer. I'm kind of answering your question with a bit of a question. I think the one thing is clear is that we're still, you know, starting his third season. We're just not ready to play the type of football he wants to play. Aubameyang and Lacazette can't play together. And those are your two star forwards worth over, when we bought them, you know, £100 million. They can't play together unless you're going to play a back three. And that's not what Arteta wants to do. He wants to play back four. So system wise, like, I just don't know if, do we stick with this back 4-4-2-3-1 or even a 4-3-3, which is kind of what we think he wants to do. Ultimately, do we stick with that and kind of keep putting square pegs in round holes? Or do we lean into what we've got, or do we just stick with these growing pains of like, all right, we just got to wait out Aubameyang's contract, probably Lacazette's too. The season can, I'm not prepared to write it off, obviously, but this season we cannot expect a whole lot and then hit the ground running again next summer. But there's still so many problems in the interim that, like, I just really don't know how to answer that question. And I think that's the most frustrating part about all this. There's no, you know, outside of a couple individual performances, if you're talking club level, Arteta level, managerial level, overall player quality level, like, it's just, there's not a whole lot of good. You know what I mean? I really don't know. I think, you know, that Arteta question is a tough one. And I think I'm closer than I ever have been to being, you know, up for trying something new.
Well, it's like what I told you on the phone earlier when we were texting. For me, I look at Arteta and I think, okay, like, you know, there were some signs that first little half season he came in that we were progressing, you know? And then we have the season we had last year, you know? Which we were terrible the first half of the season. We were absolutely terrible, you know?
Yeah.
He introduces a Emile Smith Rowe. He comes in, really changes the game for us. We have a much better second half of the season, right? Not perfect. We still weren't creating that many opportunities. We still weren't scoring a lot of goals. We're still struggling. Like, the flaws in the team were still very, very apparent, you know? And we have this transfer window, you know, and the players that it looked like we really, really needed to prioritize. No, we kind of did, you know. We got in the left back, who played right back yesterday,
the last few minutes,
you know, which is just, you know, what the fuck? Yeah. You literally got Hector Bellerin and Cedric and Ames and all sitting there. It's just whatever. And then, you know, we bring in Lokonga, which I think is a good one. I think the jury's still out on Nuno Tavares, whether he's going to be any good for us or not. But, you know, it's like, that's important, you know? But for me, I'm like, what's the biggest problem we had last season? We couldn't score goals and we didn't have enough creativity in the team. You know, like Ben White is great, you know, but, yeah, you know, we don't have a backup goalkeeper. Brent Leno is the only goalkeeper we have who can do anything for us. You know, Runerson's not going to do anything for us. You know, it's like we don't have a backup goalkeeper. The one people we've been linked with are just seems insane that we would spend the money on Ramsdale or somebody else. We still don't have that other creative player that we absolutely desperately need in the team. We don't have anyone who can score goals. The only person who was on the Arsenal books who was scoring goals from midfield last season, we just sold to Newcastle.
Yeah.
So it's a difficult one for me to trust them, because I look at Arteta and I'm like, okay, when you come in as a coach, you know, in my eyes, you know, Arteta should have come in and said, okay, what players do I have? Okay. Yeah. What can I do? How can I play to get the absolute most out of these players? You got to be super pragmatic,
yeah,
you know? And then the players that we brought in, I feel like, you know, they haven't strengthened his position. I don't think it made his system stronger or more viable. It doesn't make us look better. So then I feel like you got to look at his system and you think, okay, it didn't work last season. You know, it just didn't. Yeah. And now the first game of this season, we looked bad.
Yeah.
Like we really did not look good. We just did not look like we were. Dude, we just did not look like we were going to threaten any team. And maybe you think like, okay, well, if Partey's in and Locke is in and, you know, and we have Eddie instead of Balogun, who's actually played, you know, you kind of think about like, okay, well, maybe that would have been better, you know, maybe it would have, but our defending was still bad. Brent Leno still wasn't great in goal. You know, if you look at his stats from all last season, he's not a good goalkeeper. He's bang average. All of his stats are like right around the 50%.
Yeah.
You know, he's a bang average goalkeeper in the Premier League. He's not going to take us anywhere. So it's just really frustrating for me looking at Arteta and looking at Edu and saying like, okay, last season, I would not call that progression because you can't just say the first half of that season didn't exist. It did. We were shit. And then the second half of the season, we were better, but we still weren't good enough to achieve anything. And now we don't accomplish everything we absolutely desperately need to do in the transfer window. Obviously, there's still two more weeks left. We could bring in, you know, it could be crazy, you know, so I don't want to judge them 100%. But it seems to me like we got a couple exciting players in like Lokonga and in Ben White, but they didn't ultimately strengthen our team enough to make us compete on the first day of the season.
Yeah.
Which is super fucking important. And we played just like we did the first half of last season. So it's really frustrating. And I look at them and I think they should be under a tremendous amount of pressure and stress right now. If I was Josh Kroenke and I cared about anything that was happening at this club, I would have been on the phone with them right after that game and been like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Or at least just like, what do we need to do? Because, you know, I think what we're staring at is the possibility that we'll have the exact same team that finished last season, which was better, like you said, better. And, you know, last season was a tricky one because as much as you can say, the first half didn't happen. We were very good the second half of the season overall. And there's I basically going into the season chose to be positive about our form at the end of last season and be like, all right, well, if we play like that, you know, we were on form to be the third best team in the league or whatever we were since Christmas. So that's just kind of what I was telling myself going into this season, at least. But what we're looking at is basically having the same team as last season, only with Ben White instead of David Luiz. And and we have a backup left back. That's a good thing. We have this new, you know, high ceiling, maybe already ready to go, Sambi Lokonga midfielder. And that's great. I don't want to shit on that. And we've made some important contractual decisions with Balogun and ESR this summer too. So like some good things have happened, but you're basically looking at Ben White taking David Luiz's place and nothing else being different. Because we're probably going to go back in and get Odegaard. And as much as I like him, and I'm going to be really glad when we have him back because he does make us better than we were against Brentford. He doesn't make us better enough to make me think we can compete with Chelsea next weekend or City the weekend after, even Liverpool or on their day, even Aston Villa or a club. You know what I mean? Like, it's like we're looking at the potential of like promise this big rebuild this summer and we just didn't get it. And the wait will go on. And it's all about whether or not Arteta is going to be given the time to do it. So it's a bit of a downer pod. I don't know what else to say about the game, really. Like, we didn't show up enough. They weren't amazing. They weren't great, but they won when it mattered. They won the second ball when it mattered. They won the duels when it mattered. And they put the ball in the back of the net twice. And yeah, you can have your contentious decisions. Maybe Balogun should have had a penalty in the first half. Maybe that's a foul on Leno. But I don't fucking care anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, exactly.
At the end of the day, like, matter. I'm sick of seeing Callum Chambers getting run past. And I'm sick of seeing
same
Pablo Mari look
over
weak.
And over and over again.
I'm sick of seeing him look weak in one-on-one defending. I'm sick of, like, not having the players we need in the right positions,
and it's,
you know?
And it's frustrating, too. Like, you know, even pundits, you know, you got Jamie Carragher last night literally saying exactly what you just said. You know, they're talking about the game, and he's like, what are you supposed to say? It's the same. It's Arsenal. It's the same old Arsenal. He goes, weak, looks like children playing against men. They can't stand up. They can't defend. There's not enough quality in the team. What do you, you know, and it's difficult to hear people say that. And as a fan, you're like, yeah, fuck you, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's, you don't want to hear that, but it's true right now.
It is.
It's difficult, you know, and it, I don't want to be over melodramatic or to feel like, you know, like I'm blowing things out of proportion. It's the first game of the season, you know,
right.
It didn't go according to plan. We've had some big injuries. We had two people left out who are important. Even though they're aging, they're important to this team.
Yeah.
You know, I think that I legitimately do think that if Lacazette is fit or whatever and starts that game over Balogun, I think our buildup play is better. I think our goal threat is higher. For
sure. Definitely. Yeah.
You know what I mean? For sure. And so it's a difficult one, but it doesn't matter. You know?
Yeah.
Because again, it's just like at the
because
end of
we
the
should
day,
be beating Brentford. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's what Arteta said. You know, when he was when they asked him about it, he was like, "You just have to adapt. There's no excuses. You have to be able to adapt." And to a certain extent, you know, you said this earlier on the phone, is that I feel like for years now our recruitment has not been good.
Yeah,
our team building has not been good. The executive structure at the club has not been good. It's been
or
behind
consistent.
The times.
Yeah.
It hasn't been consistent. And to a certain extent, when you have somebody, and maybe this is true of Edu as well, you know, you have somebody like Arteta who comes in, and I think he does have a tremendous amount of ambition. And I do think he's a good coach, because I feel like he's gotten responses from the players, you know?
Yeah.
And there's been times where we've played really, really well. And I think he's super passionate, but to a certain extent, I feel like he's inherited some major flaws that the club has, and he might die by them, you know?
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to say it like that, but, and it's not all his fault. You know, you, as a manager, you gotta get results. You gotta make what you have work. And he said that, you know, when interviewed about stuff, he's like, look, I have what I have and I got to make it work. I don't, you know, he's not shying away from it. He's not making excuses about it. He understands his position, which I have a tremendous amount of respect for that. But right now, first day of the season, losing like that, you know?
Yeah, it's tough. And I mean, I think ultimately
all we have is tougher games after that.
Yeah. I mean, we're also looking at the possibility of going into the international break on 0 points.
0 points.
Like nothing. So, It's weird times, and they could get darker, you know, than it is right now, as hard as that is to imagine. It definitely could be. I think that's as good as a place as any, just to kind of leave the game there. Arsenal didn't show up. Arsenal didn't fight enough. And we got outbattled by a team who, there's a lot of likable things about them, but they didn't really do much that impressed me, you know, outside of their energy and their athleticism. They didn't really do much that impressed me. So, like, it just has to be better. Hopefully Arteta can get a response out of the team. You know, looking forward to this Chelsea game next weekend. Lukaku will be back. That's good. That's great. I'm looking forward to watching him, you know, bounce Ben White 15 yards off the ball. But, you know, I hopefully all we can really hope at this point is, you know, whatever the heck's going on with Alba and Laka, that'll get resolved. And that at least we'll see a bit more fight, because Chelsea's a better team on our best day, I think. So we'll see. But I think that's as good a place as any just to leave this one. And we're going to just jump into our next and last segment, our hot takes.
Smith-Rowe.
our hot takes. I got three quick ones for you here, Tim. Some of it we've kind of halfway already hit on, so we don't have to, you know, relitigate all that mess. But you kind of hinted at earlier, Pepe up top versus Chelsea. That's what you would do, given that it looks like Aubameyang and Lacazette will still be out. Are there any other changes you would make to that starting lineup? You know, you thinking maybe Cedric comes in or Bellerin comes in ahead of Chambers, who had a pretty weak game. Even if Cedric and Bellerin are definitely not the answer at that position. You know, do you see that midfield pairing staying the same? Do you see Bukayo Saka coming back in to start the game? He looked pretty ready when he came on. Yeah, what other changes would you make to the starting lineup?
For me, and we talked about this earlier today too, I don't get Arteta's weird infatuation with like absolutely having a left-footed center back.
Yeah, you that's know? Weird. Yeah,
it's weird. It's stupid. It's one of those things where I'm just like, get over yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I look at, because I look at that second goal, right? And you look at Chambers and you look at Mari and it's terrible defending, you know?
Yeah.
And even for Ben White, it's like the slow-mo replay makes his positioning look really bad. But in his defense, you know, the right back and his center, you know, his central defense partner and the goalkeeper all rush to get the ball. None of them touch it. Okay. It gets headed over across the goal and he's kind of, you know, left in no man's land to a certain extent because he can't go to the ball. You know, he can't just leave the middle of the net wide open. It's just terrible, you know?
Yeah.
And he kind of gets stuck. It makes him look bad. You know, there's no way he could have reacted fast enough to prevent that goal from happening, you know, but
do you want to see a change at center back?
Yeah, I would put Holding in for Mari because I think he's marginally quicker. Okay. I stress marginally.
Yeah.
A okay. He's a lot better. I think he's better in the air.
Yeah.
And honestly, his passing is probably the same or slightly better. I think Mari so much. He got under pressure so much because they were pressing him and he just would try to turn backwards. And it's like, he just was not fast enough. You know, you look at the way Ben White was able to bring the ball out of defense, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dribble into midfield, lay the ball off or try to, you know, ding one around. Mari can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, he got stuck on the ball so much. He's too slow. He got turned so fast, so many times he got in behind us just because he can't turn and run. He absolutely can't. And so I would put Holding in with Ben White because I feel like he's better in the air. If you're not playing a high line, I think he's pretty reliable. You know, he's had plenty of great games against Chelsea and Man City and stuff like that too. So I feel like I would put him in. The Pepe thing is a weird one, but it's like, it's almost the novelty of it for me. I just want to see something different, dude.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think ultimately what will happen is depending on if we sign Odegaard by then or if he'll even be fit to play, he should be. But, you know, I would probably start Saka on the right.
Yeah.
Put Pepe on the left. And I would put Gabby through the middle if Locke and Alba aren't fit. Or, you know, worst comes to worst, you got to start with with Balogun again.
Yeah, I don't think that's the worst, like the worst thing that can happen for him. I'd like to see him
happen for him, but
yeah, just get the chance to bounce back quick. But I could totally see Arteta not going with that again.
Yeah, you know, and you know, you can't really change the team up too much more than that, you know.
Yeah, we don't have the options. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, it's like he obviously doesn't trust Cedric, so he's not going to play him at right back. He's not going to start him against Chelsea. He didn't even bring him into this game. He brought in our backup left back to play right back. So he's not going to start Ames the Million Dollars. He might throw everyone for a loop and start Bellerin. You have no idea, you know. But I just feel like for that position, we have no one who's capable. So he'll probably just stick with Chambers, who he just likes, you know, how comfortable he is on the ball, even though he's a weak defender and he doesn't run.
He can't. Yeah, he's just slow.
So, you know, Partey's not fit. So Xhaka will start. I feel like if we did sign Odegaard and he started in midfield, then I would, and if Saka was fit, I would probably start Smith Rowe on the left.
And have I'd like
come
that.
On as a super sub, honestly.
Yeah, we'll see if that one can get pushed over the line. It's a possibility before next weekend. It's all but confirmed that we're basically in negotiations with Real Madrid. Arteta's always wanted Odegaard, so that would be a big boost for that game, and it gives us the slimmest of chances, I think, if, you know, we kind of, like you said, get some marginal gains out of replacing Mari with Holding, or even Chambers at center back. I think he's maybe a slightly better center back than right back. And I mean, I wouldn't be entirely opposed to him bringing in a Cedric. I don't think it'll happen, but I wouldn't be opposed to it. Simply because Cedric can actually run. He's our only full right back that can run, outside of Maitland-Niles. But once again, that's a whole nother situation. Alrighty. Next hot take. If things don't get better, obviously, we're going to win games. We're going to pick up points at some point. This first stretch is going to be really difficult. The fact that it's a real possibility we go into the international break, 3 games down, 0 points on the board. After that, I think we have a decent run of fixtures. We do have Spurs thrown in there, I think, our 4th or 5th game of the season. But how long do you give Arteta to give us some positive changes and results, because ultimately that's what this business is, and he can't have another season in 8th. So how long do you give Arteta, in your opinion, and then what do you think the board will do?
I think that unless we're like in the bottom of the table basically by Christmas, I think they'll stick with him.
Yeah.
But for me, it's like, it's a very, very real possibility we lose all 3 of these first games and we go to international break, right?
Yeah.
And then isn't there another break in October or
that sounds right,
November
yeah.
or something like that?
I think it's October, like, yeah.
You know, for me, it's kind of like, I don't know. I mean, it's so hard because I feel like, yeah, I think it is in October.
Yeah, that's a big question. It's a big question, you know?
It's like, a big question, but it's also just kind of basically like, okay, look, if we still are not playing well, you know, if it looks like the same as it was last season, you know, and you're like well and truly into the first half of the season in the sense that you're like at the end of October going into November or something like that, you know? Like before you like are getting into the festive period, there's a huge part of me that's just like, how realistic is it that we change our season around as dramatically as we did last season? It's extremely unrealistic, you know?
Yeah, it is. We don't,
you know, like Arteta doesn't have like a miracle up his sleeve. If Smith Rowe, what if Smith Rowe, you know, there's no doubt that he's talented. Everybody's thought he's talented, you know?
Yeah.
But what if the injury that he got last season was just a slight bit more serious and he wasn't able to actually come back and play until February? Arteta would have got sacked. He should have got sacked because we would have been playing rough, bro.
Yeah, we you were. Know, it was bad. We couldn't buy a win.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, he would have gotten sacked. And so I feel like it's kind of one of those, like, you know, fool me once, shame on me, you know, shame on you kind of thing, you know, like fool me twice. Yeah. Like, you know, so I feel like Arteta should be feeling the pressure. If I was the board, I'd be like, look, I wouldn't say it after this, but it's like if you lose all the 3 first games, especially in the manner that we lost that Brentford game, if we go to Chelsea and we get hammered and we don't look like we're doing anything, you go to City and you get hammered and you don't look like you're up to anything, then I feel like he's in trouble. He has to be. If any team that has any amount of ambition, you're in trouble as a manager, you know?
Yeah,
you're in
definitely.
Trouble.
Yeah, and so I think you should do so.
Yeah, I don't know exactly, you know, what they'll do. I feel like the majority of the quote-unquote executives or the board at Arsenal are pretty much cowards, so I don't think that they'll have the balls to sack them and try to figure something else out. I just don't think they will, but it's up to me, and we're playing poorly, and it's October, November. He's got to be gone. He has to be. We got to do something different.
Yeah, and there's potential for some decent managers out there to kind of come in. I like Graham Potter, you know, down at Brighton a lot. There's a few other managers maybe around the league or on the continent we could look at too then. But that's kind of getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. Ultimately, obviously we want the team to do better, and that can start as quickly as this next weekend. I can't remember. I think the game's on Saturday or Sunday. I can't remember.
I don't care either.
It's Chelsea this next weekend. Lukaku's back for them. They looked great in their season opener, so it's going to be a daunting game. Like we've already mentioned, hopefully Odegaard can maybe be fit or available, or an Arsenal player to come in and change a little something. But ultimately, I think Arteta just needs to switch a couple things up and really just light a fire under these guys, because what we saw against Brentford was just not acceptable. So last thing, any score predictions for the weekend? Any inclination, if I had to get an answer from you, about how that one will go?
I'm not very confident about that game.
Yeah, me neither.
I'm not confident about it because of the Brentford game.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the thing that keeps and this is what makes, you know, following Arsenal so cool, being a fan, is that there's also a part of me that's like, yeah, but what if we bounce back, you know?
Yeah, what if, like, we could.
Brentford is the kick up the ass that we need, and we go and we beat Chelsea 1-0 or something, you know?
Something, it's just, or get a draw, last minute draw. Like, yeah anything
you
can
know,
happen.
It could, anything could happen. And those are the sort of things that help, you know, kick your season off. So yeah. I'm not confident about it, but I legitimately think we'll lose the game, but a draw is not impossible.
Yeah, I'm gonna go, if I had to nail my colors to the mast, I'm going with a very lopsided towards Chelsea 2-2 draw where we kind of nick a couple goals or maybe a penalty here or there or something like that.
Dude,
but
you're,
I think
crazy thinking we're gonna score 2 goals, dude.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll score all season, but Tim, I say we leave it there, man. It was a hard one to talk about, but hopefully there's some, you know, kind of cathartic ideas somewhere in there. I don't necessarily feel better about Arsenal's prospects, but I, you know what, Tim, I'm just glad to be here. Just glad to be here. Glad to be talking to you. Glad to be maybe in some people's ears. Hello, if you're new around here, give us a 5-star review on iTunes if you wouldn't mind so much. But Tim, it is a tough one, man, a tough one, but hopefully we can bounce back next weekend against Chelsea. You got anything else?
I'm just hoping we don't have a whole lot of these podcasts.
Yeah, that we had enough of them last
season.
Last
season when we started the pod, I was like, this is
the worst. Dude, yeah, why did we do this? We talked for so many years about trying to start this podcast, and then we started that season. At least we could have done it the FA Cup season. I don't know. All that to say, let's just keep our fingers crossed that this game against Chelsea, win, lose, or draw, is at least we'll have a performance to hang our hat on at the end of the day. But we'll leave it there. We'll talk to you guys next time, early next week. Later, guys.
Bye-bye.